I just discovered that all the patterns that I tried to do, they didn't really fit me, you know, properly. I was quite thin then, you know. So I ended up with, you know, changing a lot in the patterns so that they'll fit me. Till one day I was like, you know, why do I not just make my own pattern? That would save me a lot of time and actually fit me. Like, this is actually how I got started.
You're listening to episode 57 of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm the host, Karagat Warner, and it's my mission to share those stories that celebrate our passion for making and yarn crafting and what keeps us going down that path. Hey there, Power Pearls listeners. Before we jump into this episode, I just wanted to share some quick details about my guest. Her name is Chi Lam, and she is one of the featured designers in the new Annie's Signature Designs collection called the Annie's Spring Breeze Collection. It's actually the Annie's Signature Designs Spring Breeze Collection, to be more precise. And she shares some really actionable advice, and some of it's very unexpected, and there's some of the really important things that come up when you're designing knitwear patterns, and also, you know, these apply to crochet as well, just yarn crafting, yarn design, you know, in general. And so I think this is a really important episode for you to listen to if you really want to really dig into actual pattern design, because she talks about garments specifically, and a little bit about grading and that sort of thing. We touch on that, but we really get into the juicy bits about grading in the kind of the post chat, which is available only to patrons of the podcast. So if you want to learn more about that, you can go to patreon.com/PowerPearlsPodcast, and you can learn all about how to support the show, because it really does help me to get behind the microphone and bring more content to you guys. So that's my goal and that's my mission. So you can check it out. And so it's a very long conversation, the unedited portion. And so if you are a patron, you get the unedited episodes. And what does that mean? It means you get additional conversations that we have that are not public. So they happen at the beginning of the episode and also at the end of the episode. And in this episode, at least the unedited part, I talk a little bit about the technical ins and outs of the back end of a podcast and the production there too, which is kind of interesting if you are intrigued by that at all. But you get a look behind the curtain, which is really the exciting part. I know a lot of you guys really like that. So a little real life stuff. So I think that's about it. So without further ado, let's jump in and meet Chi Lam. Hey, Power Pearl listeners. Welcome to another edition of Power Pearls Podcast. Today, I am chatting with Chi Lam, the once in-house knitwear designer at Drops Design in Norway, and freelancer. She's also a knit design freelancer as well. And Chi is also a contributor to magazines such as Knitzine, Creative Knitting, of course, and Pom Pom Magazine. Chi is originally from Hong Kong, and she's currently based in Gothenburg, Sweden. Yay, I said that right. Fashion and design has always been a passion of hers. She graduated from school with a civil engineering degree. Wow. But then she followed her heart to pursue the dream of being a designer. So that's really interesting because I notice a lot of designers have like a very technical background in engineering or bookkeeping or finance. So anyway, so in 2015, she was offered by a London publisher who found her online the chance to write a knit book. How exciting. And it became her very first book called Learn How to Knit with 50 Squares, which was published in February of 2016. So that's a thrill. So Chi, I'm so excited that you have decided to join me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. How exciting.
Yes. it's exciting. And by the way, you guys, Chi is in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And it's 10:45 a.m. and here, and it's 10:45 p.m., right?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So we have to get a move on. So we were already talking for like a half hour, including some of the little ins and outs, trying to, you know, fix the audio and that sort of thing. But we had some really insights and good warm-up talk. And so that's available to any of you guys who are out there listening that are patrons of the podcast at the $3 and up level. So, yeah, there's a nice extended convo there. And so, Chi, before we dig into this interview, I just would love to ask you to share your personal journey and how you entered this fibery-filled world.
Quite an accident, really. I learned how to knit and purl when I was little, but that was just the basic. But about 20 years ago, I moved to Sweden because I met a Swedish guy. And my ex-boyfriend's mother, who's a very kind woman, she wanted to help me to get started with learning the Swedish language. So I got like a big pile of women's magazines from her, because she thought that I could just flip through and just try to pick up the words and everything from the pictures. But what caught my interest were not the recipes or garden tips or whatever, but they have a lot of knitting patterns. And lucky for me, the Scandinavian countries are very rich in the tradition of knitting and handicrafts. So I got really inspired by all the beautiful designs, and I just picked up the needles again and started knitting. And, you know, it's really so cold and dark in the winters over there. So
yeah,
it's not much to do anyway.
Absolutely.
So it's perfect to, you know, just, you know, begin a new hobby like that. So,
Yeah, and Scandinavia, the Scandinavian countries. What a great place for you to end up, right? To like rekindle your love for needle arts, because we all have, or knitting, I should say, because I have a story like that, and a lot of people do. It's like you learn when you're little, and you did, you know, but there was no connection at that point.
Exactly.
You're just like, your mom was showing you, and then later it's like, ooh, and there it was, and you're in, it's like the stars aligned for you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's meant to happen, you know, that way. And I remember, you know, my first finished project was actually a cardigan with all over lace pattern and setting sleeves and everything. But of course, by that time, I had no idea if it's difficult or hard, or I had no idea. I just did whatever, you know, they told me to do in the pattern. I was like, so now when I look back, I was like, wow, I did that. You're like, first project, but you know, maybe.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that that's a sign that you were prolific, to you know, from the beginning, that you could actually make a sweater. And you know, sure, I think, oh well, I shouldn't use that word, because you know, some people might think, oh no, I have to be prolific to make a sweater.
No,
the first time. you know what it was. You weren't afraid. You were so intrigued, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You were just like,
oh
my gosh,
that's so pretty.
This
I want to
yarn,
do that. Yeah.
Yeah, this yarn is so yummy, and the needles. Oh, I love how this whole thing works. And I just want to jump in, because to anyone listening, because I hear this, like, they're afraid, you know, and it's like, why? Like, don't worry. Are you afraid of, because you might, you know, because the yarn is expensive? Just go get Red Heart. I hate, you know,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
go get a less expensive yarn. I'm not to put, believe me, not to put down Red Heart, but I'm just saying Red Heart is inexpensive. That was my point, but
no,
you know, just pick up your needles and just try, because it's, if you go in with an open mind, right?
Yeah, I usually went to the thrift shops and, you know, find whatever yarn, you know, like really odd colors or odd numbers or whatever I could find, just to try and just to start doing something, you know, making something.
So you could buy yarn in a thrift store? You could buy
Sweden, like, yeah, you could actually find needles and yarns and whatever, you know.
I guess that makes sense. I just haven't seen it too much in a thrift store, but it sounds like it might be easy to find there in Sweden, because of course it's capital of the
world.
Yeah,
of course, yeah. It's so cold here, you would need to do that, yeah.
This is true. It's like kind of almost a necessity. Do you find, just kind of going off on that a little bit, but do you find that people just, it's sort of like part of their culture and their heritage that they just knit to knit? Like some people just do it because, well, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that it's based on passion for some people, or do you think people do it out of necessity still today?
Not today anymore. I think it was, you know, a very big tradition, I guess, still is today, but I mean, nobody needs to make any clothes anymore. I mean, you can get, you know, whatever you need in any stores, you know, with, you know, maybe just 1/10 of the price of, you know, buying yarn and, you know, doing the knitting yourself, you know. So I don't think anybody mm-hmm. would do that, you know. But it's a really good tradition that I would like to keep alive, even though a lot of people doing that are much older than me and, you know, not my generation. So a lot of people are, you know, surprised that, you know, this is what I do because I don't look like a grandma or anything like that.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because the first design that you submitted to me was for a baby Farrell sweater.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It is like a... like, you know, something out of, you know, the Scandinavian, you know, books from the day, from the bygone days or whatever.
Yeah, I tried
with a modern flair.
Exactly,
but like,
yeah.
You sent that, I remember it so well, you sent in that design with these little accent buttons, I think, on the shoulder,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the colors, like everything about it. I was like, I didn't have to change a thing.
Oh.
and this is for the magazine. And so I wanted to, you know, obviously talk about that proposal process. I'm getting ahead of myself, but like you made it so easy because, you know, the yarn, well, that's a whole other thing because you're out of the country that I'll talk about, but everything was just spot on based on the theme. You know what I mean? Cause I was like, this is what I needed. I create the guidelines and the theme letters, right?
Yeah. That's,
and you were one of those people that did it to a T and gave me what I wanted. And I was like, done. Like, press the easy button.
Oh, wow.
You know?
That's really nice to hear.
Yeah, and you did those tutorial photos. And I'm trying to think what issue I think that's coming. When is that coming out? Oh, my gosh, that issue. I guess it's already out right now, right? Is it in the Colorwork SIP? That's been out, right?
Oh, it must be. The winter issue.
Confused.
Yeah. It must be out.
But you don't have the issue, so
yeah, I don't,
you would know.
No.
No, it's, my goodness, I can't think of which issue it was in. I thought maybe it's in a winter issue, but
anyway, it must be a winter issue.
So anyway, you were just sharing your personal journey and you made your first lace cardigan.
Yeah.
So that's where I kind of cut in. And we kind of went off on this little tangent. So can you pick up from there? So then you started knitting and, you know, like kind of embracing the life in Sweden.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, soon enough, I just, you know, discovered that all the patterns that I tried to do, they didn't really fit me, you know, properly. I was quite thin then, you know. So I ended up with, you know, changing a lot in the patterns so that they'll fit me. Until one day I was like, you know, why do I not just make my own pattern? That would save me a lot of time. And actually, you know, it would actually affect me. Like, this is actually how I got started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then from that point, so you started knitting the patterns and then realizing I really love this and I want to just keep on going, right? So how can I make some money with it, right? So so then what was the next step? Did you go to school? Because you went to school.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah. I was doing,
you went to school for, because they have, I know in this country, schools have really stepped it up. Of course, after I graduated college, then of course, there were all these amazing courses, classes, like a career path to be a knitwear designer, right?
Yeah.
But it's still not every school does that. But in Sweden, that's a career path, isn't it?
Yeah, they do actually. They have the, you know, fashion, you know, high, you know, fashion university or what do you call it, college, yeah. But I didn't go to any of these. But I actually went to a college in London. It's a design college in London for interior design, actually. Yeah, and actually I did some course in the US when I was studying in Philadelphia. Actually, that was quite a while ago before I moved to Sweden. I did some fashion courses, actually. But that didn't have anything to do with knitwear or anything like that.
No, but, you know, I think that it probably helped you with your skills that you have. You also...
Yeah, definitely. In the construction, you know, yeah.
Exactly. And so as a garment designer...
Yeah.
Before you even decide to design a garment, you know, a knit garment, you have to understand garment construction first.
Yeah.
And also how to sketch.
Yeah.
So that's where you got that. Because I went to fashion school as well. I went to Parsons in New York.
Oh, right.
City,
nice.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a wonderful, oh my gosh, I feel so fortunate to have had that experience. But yeah, so I apologize. I thought that, like, because Lena Skvargason, who's been on Power Pearls podcast, she was, and she's also the lead designer of Annie's Signature Designs, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
I just have all these questions, for you, of course. So anyway, I thought that she had mentioned that you had gone to a design school in Sweden, but that is the truth as far as what I had said before, that there is actually, there are schools that train designers to actually
start definitely.
In the knitwear, you know,
yeah.
Which is nice. And it's not as widespread here in the U.S., but the fashion background is a very indirect and very valuable kind of education that will lead you down that path further. And I think that that's what can be missing from designers that, you know, or I should just say, aspiring designers that knit and love it. And they want to design, you know, so the groundwork really, it does start in the garment design world, in the fashion world. And not even, it's also obviously learning how to understand how to write a pattern, understand a garment, a pattern,
right.
But also seeing what's on the runway, what's in fashion, what are the silhouettes, will drape nicely on a woman's or a man's body, but we're designing mostly knitwear because that's really what most people want. Most knitters want to wear what they make.
No,
that's just the reality.
Yeah.
The reality of it. So, well, this is nice. And so, nice progression here. So then the next step was that you started working with Drops. Drops Design, would that be correct?
Yes. But that actually came as an accident because my real education was in mechanical engineering. So this was all happening when I was doing the education in the, you know, technical school, really. But so I never thought that I would actually go out and do something like that. But I started to put up my own patterns. And I just thought that, you know, why can't I just do it? I mean, I just put up my patterns on Reverie. And then I think I have some design on my Facebook, some cardigan that I knitted. And it's quite unusual design, I guess, but it's quite trendy and, you know, not your grandma's knit cardigan and that kind of things. But I think I got contacted by Drops for some reason. They found me on, because I probably tagged them in some way, and they found me, and I got a call, you know, from the boss at the designer, from Drops. He asked me if I wanted a job. I said, yeah, of course. But the job was in Norway, which is another country. So I actually, I actually went to the interview the same day. I went to Norway, and then I got the job, I started a job a month later, so that was quite crazy. I had to move everything, you know, say goodbye to my friends and just, you know, move to Norway for that job. That was
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I wouldn't say that that happened to a lot of people, I would say.
It happens sometimes, and it's oh my gosh, it's just amazing how in a moment your whole life can change.
Oh,
the trajectory of your life can go off on a completely different tangent. And many of the listeners know that that's exactly what happened to me because I met, you know, Annie's at a, you know, had an interview at a trade show, you know, at TNNA. And that's how I got my job with Annie's. You know, creative knitting came a little bit later because I started as the pattern book editor. But it was through a designer, and it was through my networking, like that I really believe in.
Yeah,
like,
that's
networking.
Really important,
Yeah, getting to know everybody, because you never know who they know.
Oh, yeah.
And also, not for that reason, but to form genuine relationships, because honestly, this is a wonderful industry, and I consider everybody, including you, Chi, of course, my friends.
Yes.
Because we do have great relationships.
Of course.
That's what it comes down to.
Of course, definitely.
And I feel lucky to be able to work with people that I really like. And I think everyone should only work with people they like.
Oh, definitely. You know? But that's a luxury. Yeah. I don't think everybody has that luxury, but I am lucky enough. I'm one of those like you. lucky ones who get to do that, of course. Yeah.
Yes. So that was great. So you ended up at Drops, and you were there, and you really learned a lot at that point.
Oh.
And you got to meet Lena, and Lena was a great influence for you, wasn't she?
She's a great teacher to me. Because when I started to do the designing, I could do the patterns, I can make, the patterns, I can do the knitting, I can write down and everything, and I can make three sizes, you know. But Lena, she's the one actually who beat me into the designer I am today. It sounds terrible, but she's the best that happened, you know, because she's telling me, okay, what do you mean by this? I don't know what you mean. This is not clear. Can you redo this? What do you mean? You have to make this clear, or this is not good. And, you know, I learned so much from her, just, you know, telling me, okay, you have to think or reprogram your mind to understand the knitter's, thinking process. It's not about me. It's not about what I think, what I want to do. It's about how I can communicate to the knitter so that I can help her to do the same thing. So that was a really valuable lesson that I got from Lena, really.
Yeah, that's really wonderful advice. And the fact that she said it's not about you.
Yes.
You know, it's not about you, because that's what happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, where when an editor or, you know, someone like your teacher, like Lena was for you, or whoever, you know, they're saying, look, there's a problem with this, and you have to kind of fix it.
Yeah.
And there can, you know, instead of getting upset and taking offense, look at it as a learning opportunity, because it isn't about you, and we all need to start somewhere, and we're never going to stop learning. So we have to always have an open mind.
Exactly.
And then we'll be free, and we won't be all uptight if we take that attitude and just kind of get that chip off the shoulder, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point that, you know, to work as a designer, that it's also something that I have to struggle with all the time. You know, do I do this for myself, or do I do this for a knitter, a customer? You know, this is something that I have to, decide all the time. But in the end, it's always about the customer, in this case, a knitter, you know, who's going to use my pattern. And it's, I have to always put that, in the first place. How do I get to that, you know, to this person's mind?
That's really a very smart thing to advise right now, because that's what happens, you know, that's what happens to a lot of us, is we get in our own head about a design because you love it so much.
Yeah.
But if you always pose that question to yourself, who is this for?
Yeah.
It's not for me. Like, you love it because you, like we said earlier, you're designing what you like. Yes. But by the same token, is this something that someone will also want? Will the customer, whoever the customer is, like, just something as simple as, is this sweater, will it drape for let's say you are designing for like a plus size woman. Will this sweater drape well on their body? Is it long? Is the cardigan or the piece, is it long enough? Does it hit at the right part of the body?
Exactly.
That will be will it be becoming?
Yeah, flattering on you know, on different body sizes, and you know, that's everything you have to put into consideration.
Exactly. So, you know, let's talk a little more now, because we were just touching on Lena and Drops.
Yes.
So Drops Design is a Swedish company, and they're also, they're yarn. So they're not here in the U.S. They used to be.
Yeah.
And Lena Skavargason worked with Drops for over 25 years.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And she mentored you and many other designers that came on.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Drops was here in the U.S. for a while, and Lena lives in California, and she has lived there for many years. And so that was kind of her beginnings, and that's how you guys met. So I just wanted to put that out there because just in case people are wondering, well, what's Drops?
Yeah.
Because, Drops is, you know, for the U.S. listeners, right?
They are actually the biggest yarn supplier in the in Scandinavia anyways. I'm not sure in Europe, maybe quite big in Europe too, but they're quite big here, really.
Yeah, I think they are maybe in Europe as well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that makes it really easy. When we work together, you'll suggest a yarn that you think, like, cause I'll say to you, Shay, like, this is for the magazine, or Chi, sorry, I said Shay again.
Oh, no problem.
Because that's what I've been calling you, because that's what Lena calls you, but Chi, you know, like with the magazine, you know, you know to go to Annie's yarnshop.com or Annie's craftstore.com. So let's say there's like a yarn that's, we call them legacy yarns, or you could just say mainstream yarns, like a vintage, Barocco Vintage or Plymouth Encore. Like, these are yarns that you could duplicate, you could substitute.
Yeah, sure.
And you can, you know, they're a run-of-the-mill, you know, worsted weight or maybe chunky because, you know, vintage, Barocco Vintage, which is great to work with. They have the family, right? So they've got DK, they have worsted, and they have chunky.
Yeah.
And so you can easily match that with what you can get from Drops. So you will get the yarn on, you know, on your side, and you'll create the piece.
Yeah.
So we won't have the yarn company send it from the U.S. to you.
Yeah.
So we'll match it, you know, and we'll mention, I think, if it's a yarn that could be purchased online, I think we've done that.
Yeah, we've mentioned
Drops, because you can still buy Drops online. Or if, you know, we really want it to be something that the magazine audience can buy at a local yarn shop, then maybe we'll say it's, you know, Plymouth Encore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of the times we'll, because I'm always flexible to work with overseas designers. I actually have another designer who's in Japan.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. And so she's, Francoise Danois is her name, and she's been on this podcast and so been in the magazine. So, but anyway, so Annie's Signature Designs, let's switch gears because we can dig into that.
Yeah.
So this is like the highlight now where it's come to life. So you are in the Annie's Spring Breeze collection, as am I.
Yay.
I have a tunic. I have a little tank. I can't wait to wear it myself. And so you designed one or two pieces. I think one piece, right?
One for the knits collection and one for the crochet collection.
Right.
So two pieces,
Two pieces. And so it's basically more than 20 designs. I'm not sure the actual count. So 20 plus knit and crochet patterns for the, you know, the knitter and crocheter. And it's on sale now, you know, and it's got the spring focus, but really a very wearability. Like, that's the approach that, and of course I have helped, help promote this on the PR side, which is really exciting. But to really portray the vision, you know, Lena as the lead designer and what she was hoping that we would all kind of be as a collective vision project for the collection to be a very wearable, very like everyday kind of.
I can see that. I can see that in the whole collection that, you know, every piece you can just pick up. Oh yeah, I'll wear that. You know, just like that. And I think
exactly. And
yeah.
No, go ahead. And you're about to say something. I'm sorry.
Oh, I think that Lena did a really good job putting together, you know, two collections that, you know, just with so many yummy pieces that, you know, I think everybody would love to wear, you know, to make and to wear. it was really nice to be a part of that and, you know, to share Lionel's vision. I mean, if we're going to talk about doing the design for example, Annie's or creative knitting, I think the very crucial thing here is actually the editor, like what you did, because you're the one who has the vision, you know, and you're the one who's going to put everything together, because you have different designers and you have to put out different designs, but with a you know, the theme, within the theme and everything. So and I always try to understand, you know, from what you're writing about the theme of this collection or this issue, what you are looking for, and I will try to match that. But maybe we're talking, you know, more about this later when we're talking about the designing process then.
Yeah, no, that's correct. But I think it's also, it ties into everything that we're talking about, even the development of this collection for Annie's, because that's, you know, you're able to either take an idea and then elaborate on that based on the theme. And there was a theme, but I know that Lena did have certain silhouettes in mind.
Yeah.
But then you are able with your own design vision to carry on with that, so that, you know, it would be, yes, that's what we need. That's what our whole kind of, like I said earlier, the collective vision is of the collection. And the same thing with the magazine. Yes, it's the same approach. And so if you're able to look at the theme letter and follow that storyline, if you will, and create your own story.
Exactly.
Your own, you know what I mean? Your
yeah.
own vision.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can still be creative and you can still, you know, present something that is in your own voice.
Absolutely.
And with your own flavor. And so that's very important, because I think, unfortunately, that sometimes, you know, a submission misses the boat. It may be beautiful, and I may hold it, you know, and put it in a file,
yeah.
which I'll do a lot because
yeah.
I'm a hoarder, but they may miss the boat
yeah.
because it doesn't fit a theme. It's not like, oh, these are the only themes and that's it. When we're putting together a collection, be it for Annie's Signature Designs or creative knitting, a new theme could emerge. I mean, that happens. Like, you could send in something that totally inspires
yeah.
me, Lena, whatever, and then something new comes out of that, and then it's a whole new section of the magazine.
Yeah.
That happens. But generally, if, let's just say, and I've seen this happen, and this is like a very, you know, kind of obvious example, but it's summer. I'm working on a summer or a spring issue, and someone sends in a heavy cable design piece.
Yeah, and that's maybe not the best.
It's not going to get picked.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm asking for open work, and someone submits a beautiful color work design.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
These are things that are very common, like, you know, that you, yeah, these are what knitting magazines do feature. But if that's not part of the vision,
yeah, exactly,
the collective then. Vision, then you miss. And
yeah.
you, so you hit it spot on. You're, you know, you follow what is asked for. So that's kind of where it stands. So again, it's not restricting you as a designer. It's challenging you as a designer to say, that's kind of cool. Here's a little fuel. Here's some creative juice.
Yeah.
And now what can I do with it, right? What can
exactly.
I do with it?
Yeah. And I would say that because I have so many ideas, you know, with every season or just every day I see things and I get ideas. And as a designer, that's the most painful thing, that is you realize that you will never have the time to do everything you want to do, because you just have so many ideas. So it actually is very helpful. I get the theme letter from you or from Lena, and I see those as guidelines, you know, so I could narrow my ideas down to things that I could actually, I think that actually will fit in with the collection. So that would be, you know, that's actually making the job easy for me, you know, so that I don't have like thousands of ideas flying around in my head.
So do you like the swatch? Like, are you a swatcher or a non-swatcher? I know that's so weird. It just came to me because I love just to be like, see what happens with the swatch. I mean, I know some of the best designers out there just start going to town with yarn and see which one speaks to them. So what are your thoughts on that? How do you approach a new idea?
Swatching maybe is step two, I would say. When I get the idea, then I will go look at my yarn stash, you know, to see if there's anything speaking to me. I think that's the weird thing, maybe. I think the yarn, they tell me what they want to be. That's the weird thing. I don't stash the yarns because I like those. Well, of course I like yarns, but I don't love them like, oh wow, I could, you know, have them forever, but I want to do something with them. But mostly I want to let them tell me what I'm going to do, what they want to be. So I let that happen. I pick up some color or some different, you know, quality or whatever and do some sketching. And most of the time the pattern or the design will take form or occur to me when I'm doing the swatch. And that's actually quite often how it begins.
Yeah, I think it's like a synergistic, right? Like I was going to say, the pattern, the idea emerges. It's like simultaneously.
Yeah.
Because that the creative fires are flaming. So you're swatching and you're thinking and you're imagining. And then, ooh, I got to sketch this. Ooh, and I got to sketch that.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have all your dictionaries and then maybe your yarn. And then the yarn is like exciting you to like, what this yarn needs to be. I need to do open work for this, or I need to try this bias pattern for that, right?
Exactly.
So it's like, it's you're all over the place. And I always say it's like, throw the spaghetti on the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah.
When you're swatching, like, gosh, you got to be open. And then, like you said, the idea emerges, you know? So,
yeah, I mean,
so that's great. Yeah.
That's the funny thing about yarn is that, you could definitely, use another yarn, you know, just swatch to another yarn of the same quality and everything. But most of the time, I may have like a great idea. I thought, you know, I want to do this pattern, and I try, you know, with this yarn, and I made a swatch, and it turned out that, you know, it didn't work. It didn't have the, you know, the visual effect that I was looking for. It just didn't work with the lace pattern or the whatever, you know, or the color didn't work or the weight was wrong or whatever. So that's why I'm saying that it's actually the yarn who's telling me, okay, maybe this yarn doesn't work with this pattern, but maybe I'll try another pattern and that would work great. And sometimes I make like a really small swatch, but it turned out to be really long. It's turning out to be like a scarf, you know. So I have to find that right pattern for this yarn, and that's a really fun process too, of course.
Yeah, let the yarn do the talking.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
Why don't you share a little bit about your design that's in the collection? Like, let's chat about that.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's like the name, like what yarn you use, what the kind of the whole, you know, vision behind
that.
Yeah,
I think it's really helpful that I got some inspiration photos, you know, from Liana. I think it's because she had this vision already, you know, what she was looking for, maybe some missing pieces in the collection, and she would share that with me, and she would tell me, okay, this is what I was thinking, but you know, not exactly like this, but maybe, you know, this is what I like, and what do you think? Can you make this, or maybe how can you make this work? And then I would just go, oh yeah, I like that too. And you know, how do I actually make it work? And I like it because it may be something that I've never done before. Actually, those the design the crochet design with the medallion, It's actually not my personal style, so I wouldn't actually just go out and do it for myself. But I said, yeah, but that's really pretty for summer. I could see that, you know, just it would be perfect for summer, you know, summer day on the beach. But how do I make it work so that it actually fits the vision that Leanna has? So I made some sketch. Actually, with crochet, I usually don't do any sketches because you just have to do the sample. So I begin with the medallion, which is like the focal point of the design. And when I find the design that I like for the medallion, that I could just go out and develop the rest of the top. And then I would put that in a sketch for Leanna so that she could see that what I'm doing, and also the swatch for the medallion, which was already finished. And I would have thought about how to make this in different sizes, because this is not going to be one size, but how can I make it you know, for different body sizes. That would be the very challenging part for crochet design especially, but it's also very fun to do because it really challenged, you know, my ability to make this design work. And yeah, I mean, that's how I began, you know, to make like a swatch for some part of the design.
So I'm looking at this now. Is it the black?
Yeah, the black dark blue.
White?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually a very dark blue and with a white medallion on the chest.
It's gorgeous. I mean, I will definitely be including some of this information. I'm just looking I'm looking at the lookbook. Looking at the lookbook.
Yeah.
That sounded good. And so you said it's blue. Let me see.
Yeah, it's like a navy blue.
And this is the crochet piece, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So the challenging part is to how to make this piece in the easiest way possible.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, because I'm quite lazy. I don't like, you know, complicated designs. I want to do it like really fast, and you know, it has to be really pretty too, of course, when you finish it.
So it's white. It has like a white kind of center, and that's the medallion.
Yeah,
that's like the
exactly,
focal point.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, it's blue. Yeah. So it's called the Sea Cliff Tunic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so that's the one crochet piece. Now, is there also a, that's the one, there's just one, right?
Yeah, there's one crochet piece.
And,
here.
And then in the knit collection, you did a piece as well, right?
Yeah.
So, but I just wanted to go back to the what you were saying. So the process, kind of going through that process. So
yeah.
You developed the motif, the main
motif. Yeah, the motif,
and then
yeah, exactly.
You developed the rest of the top kind of around it. And then that was when you could actually sketch out the shape and how it works inside of this piece. Because I know that that's what I always request designers to do. When, like, if you have a design idea, and it's something that, like, that's the focal point, send that swatch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, don't send the, you know, the stockinette stitch.
Yeah.
Not that anyone would really do that.
Yeah.
But so the focal point is really helpful because that's what portrays the vision when you're starting. Because I know that when you're working with Leanna, she's very hands-on.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
So she asks for swatches. And kind of, how are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Along the way, I'm not like that as much. But because once I get to know your abilities, I let you go. You're the designer. It's your vision. So basically, after you have the motif down, you would send her like a swatch. Hey, what do you think, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So kind of just staying in the loop, because that helps. Because the last thing you want to do is make this piece and it's wrong,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no.
Or it doesn't fit the vision, and that happens.
Yeah.
That does. It happens, you know? It really does. Okay.
So the swatch
tell
is
us a little.
Actually for me as well, because when I was making this motif, this is for one size, but I already knew when I was making it, okay, how do I make this in three sizes, but because it's very difficult to make six sizes, I mean, six sizes is the most common practice. But for crochet designs, it's very, very difficult to make that because the stitches are so long and everything. So three sizes, but how do you make it work? But still, the three sizes should have the same look and the same motif, almost the same, you know. But when I finished the swatch, I knew already how to do and how to make the color and the rest, you know, the rest of the piece. So that's when I sent Lena, okay, this is how I do. This is what we can do. And she didn't say anything. She said, oh, that's pretty. You did it again. So I said, okay, yeah, then I can just go ahead.
So tell us about was the knit design process, was that a similar, very similar way? Like, tell us a little bit about the knitting pattern that you designed.
Yeah, the focal point of this is naturally the lace panels on the side. And I really like this myself, and I always wanted to make something like that. So this is like, oh yeah, I could do this definitely. I was like, oh yeah, this is my, she knew what I could do. But I actually had some different ways of approaching, because you can always knit, you know, the normal way from bottom up. But for this design, I actually thought that it's easier to knit sideways to form the lace patterns, because you also need to shape for the armhole. Because Lena wanted to have satin sleeves, and I was like, that's fine, you know, but to make it work with the lace pattern as well, I could see that it's easier to make it that way. So I so again, you know, what's the focal point? And I try with this simple, you know, lace pattern, but it looks really pretty. But it's not like complicated, you know, like large patterns or anything like that, but just, you know, pretty sweet lace pattern that works really well with the plain stockinette stitches on the front. And if you look at my designs, I always look for the easiest way, as I said. And one very effective way and very easy way is to actually use contrast. I mean, if you do all overlays, that's fine. But, you know, it's kind of old-fashioned and it takes a lot longer time, you know, and I don't have the patience for that. So the perfect thing is to actually combine, you know, different kinds of stitches and textures to get the best results, really, and the fastest one.
Well, this is, yes, and this, the name of this design that we're talking about is called the Marbella Tee.
Yeah.
Right? And it's beautiful. It's in, so I didn't realize, and the yarn isn't mentioned in the lookbook, and it's Mixer. It's Barocco Mixer.
Oh, yeah, this is like
and
a,
it is
yeah.
so, it's really cool, the yarn. It's so unique, and it's like a white, kind of off-white creamy color, and it looks a lot different than, I've seen it in other pieces, and we've used it in the magazine, but this just looks, it's almost like thick, thin, and a little bit, in parts, very sheer, and sort of like that paper-thin look
because,
that you see in those cool t-shirts that you can buy. You know what I'm talking about? Those paper-thin look, that paper-thin.
Exactly.
Kind of has that feel. And then with these panels on the side, the way that you've shaped them, because I can see that there's a very slight asymmetrical look, right?
Yeah, it's an A shape, so you have to do the shaping.
Like an A shape.
On the sides,
it's really unique.
Yeah.
And that's the highlight. Like you said, the focal point is there because the panels are where the focal point is. And then there's a little detail on the shoulders, which I like. So you basically worked in the round all the way up to the armholes, and then you split for you did the armholes separately, correct?
No, actually, this is...
Is that how you did it? No?
I mean, the stocking mat part, the plain part, is worked in the traditional way from bottom up. And I just leave out, you know, the sides. And the sides, I will just pick up, you know, from the sides and knit from each side. And then you have to...
Right. But, I mean, it's a circular knit, right? From the bottom?
Oh, no.
Or
no,
is it...
It's
back and forth.
Yeah.
So it's back and forth.
Yeah.
So you have two pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
Two body
pieces.
Front piece
and a back piece, yeah.
And a back piece, and then the sleeves. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I mean, because I know that then there's the camp of the circular knitters, but then the fact that you can take this and just make it very, very basic means that it's open for so many knitters.
Yeah.
And it's a really practical looking piece. I love it.
Yeah.
The more I'm sitting, because I'm looking at this myself and I'm like, wow. Like I would love to have that.
Yeah, I would wear
collection.
That.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So you guys have to check it out. So, well, that's great. Yeah, yeah. And so we'll share this again, but just saying it right now in case you guys would want to hop on while you're listening. But AnnieSignatureDesigns.com is where all of this stuff is, and there's the patterns are there. You can instantly download. You know, yeah. So I'll just plug that really, really quick. So this is great. I mean, you know, I appreciate all this background. So how many sizes? Three sizes for this? Or was it
for the knit one, it's actually six sizes S to 3X, I think. Yeah. But
yeah, no, I wanted to.
Yeah, because
go ahead.
This is a rather simple pattern, I think, because you have, a lot of stocking knot stitches up front. That's really easy. I mean, the yarn itself provides, you know, the stripe pattern, because it's very thin at some parts and but thicker at the other parts, so it provides a really interesting contrast to the lace pattern. But the lace pattern itself, it's also very simple, very small, simple lace pattern, very simple repeats. So you get this really cute, sweet looking lace, but it actually is not that difficult at all. So I would say even if you're not used to knitting, back and forth, this is not going to be challenging. It's quite easy, but of course you have to do some shaping in the lace pattern. But I hope I provided enough tips how to do that.
Yes, your patterns are very well written, and I think that everyone will be very happy to see that. There won't be any, no tears, as Elizabeth
so.
Zimmerman has, you know, coined. But
right.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about a few other things here. Just switch gears a little bit. I wanted to ask you if you could share a little advice for someone out there wanting to start down this designing patterns kind of path. And maybe you could share, we've talked about many of them, but maybe we can kind of organize them a little bit. But the top five skills that this person should know, and maybe some of these skills are not so obvious.
Right, yeah. I think for me, it's if you're going to make your own design and you're not just doing it for yourself, then I guess the most important thing is to know who is your customer. That means, who are you making this design for? If you have that in mind, or you have some idea, everything has to go from that point. It's like what Lena has taught me. It's not just about me. Of course, a lot of the design is from me. But you're the one who's, the knitter is the one who's going to finish it. And they're the one who are going to use this design. So begin with there, I want to design for children, or I want to do just accessories, or I want to, make clothing, And then you have to also to know yourself. That means, what are you good at? What are your strength.
Your strength.
Yeah, and
right?
Yeah, exactly. And what you like to do and what you don't like to do. Because, of course, you can do anything, but you have to, of course, be flexible, but you have to know your own strength. That's also very important. And then the third, I say that, like you said, you have to present everything in a nice way. I don't know how to put it, but it's all about communication. So if you put something in front of somebody else, just try to, try to think that, what would I think if this is from some designer? What would I want from this design? Or what would I see, you know, and what's missing and what I could change, and try to think, you know, how it will be presented in other people's, you know, eyes. And that's really important. And the swatching, I think if you're going to be a designer, making swatches is, you know, the very important part of it. I mean, I can't see if you can make any design that actually will fit if you don't make any swatches. And the same thing for knitters. I can't emphasize enough that you have to make a swatch before you actually start knitting. That means you have to make sure that your gauge is correct if you don't want to, you know, end up with something that's, you know, three sizes bigger or whatever, you know. So swatching for designers is just as important, or if not more important. And I guess the last thing would be, you know, be creative. I mean, that sounds really obvious, but but the thing is, you have to actually be very creative and very flexible, you know. As I said, yarn is a funny thing. I mean, if you're doing a sewing with fabric, it's kind of fixed already. You cannot be as flexible as when you're working with yarn. But that means also that there's a lot of variations, so you have to be prepared to change, or you know, after the yarn quality, or after the magazine you're working with, or your customer you're working with, or whatever, you know, you have to be flexible and not take things too seriously. Like you said, I mean, it's not personal. It has to be something wearable and doable for someone else if that's what you're doing.
It's not about you.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it is, but it isn't. But I mean, like, be lighthearted about it, right?
Yes,
so
exactly, yeah.
These are great. These are really awesome pieces of advice. Gee, I mean, because in every one of these, you're putting it back on yourself, asking questions. Who's the customer? What are my strengths? Am I communicating? Will someone see what I'm seeing?
Yes.
What would I change? And swatching.
Yeah.
Hugely important for designers to explore and understand yarn, and for the hobby knitter to knit the pattern the way the designer designed it,
yeah.
And to be creative and flexible, because yarn can be funny,
yeah.
And yarn can do things that we don't expect. So, wow. I love it. And don't take yourself too serious.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
These are just, I have to take what you just said and print this out and put it, smack it up on my own wall and remember. So
yeah, just be
it's wonderful.
Playful
advice.
I think, you know, it has to be fun. You have to, you know, this is really like a, you know, a game, or just, you know, some something I could just play around with, and that's what makes it really fun to me.
That's exciting. Yeah, it's all about playing. I think you're right. But we all forget to play, and we think, oh, I have to work. I have to figure out the business side. I need, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yes, you do. But if you allow yourself to play and explore, all that stuff's going to come.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just have to believe. I think that's what it comes down to. Just being relaxed and believing that you're on the right track.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's it. I think that's the magic trick. I think most people that are successful in as creatives or in business, they don't have a doubt. They're just like, well, I'm on the track and I'm happy and I'm believing that it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah. You have to have your own vision, of course, and keep that vision, even though you're doing design for, you know, other people or other, you know, customers and everything. You have to be flexible, but you have to keep your own vision, and make it very clear this is your design, your style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this was great, and you shared some really great advice and wonderful insights, and I really do appreciate it. So how can people learn more about you? And then I'll share more for the listeners about how they can learn more about the Annie Signature Designs collection. But how can we learn about you, Chi?
Oh, I'm not really good at, you know, all the social media thing. I should be.
Well, you have a website.
Yeah.
So your website, you can share that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so you have
And I have my blog, but, you know, I'm also not very good at keeping, you know, track of everything. And, you know, but there are so many ways to make yourself known. And we are living in the wonderful age of internet, and that's really, you know, where all things happen. So that's, I think everybody could get a chance, like I did, you know, the London publisher, they found me online, you know, on Pinterest, really, because I put up some tutorial, I think, for some free pattern, how to, like, crochet a letter or something, you know, just for fun, you know, I thought it would be fun. And this is how it got spread on Pinterest. And I think the editor at this publisher, she's also on Pinterest, and she contacted me through my website, I think. And yeah, that's how I got my book deal. And that's really funny story too.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. So they can find you on your website. So that's a first start. Like, so it's handykitty.com,
yes,
right?
Is
that where people can find out the most about you? And then on there you have your designs, you have a lookbook, tutorials, and lots of different things. And then from there, I suppose, they can find you on other places. Like you said, Ravelry,
yes,
Pinterest, and all that good stuff,
yes,
right? So that would be the best place for everyone to check you out,
yeah,
and see all your gorgeous stuff. And then, of course, you guys, please check out the new collection of Annie's signature designs. It's called the Annie's Spring Breeze Collection, and you can learn more about that at annie'ssignaturedesigns.com. And with that, I just want to say, Chi, thank you so much for joining me today on Power Pearls Podcast.
Yes, thank you for giving me the chance to, you know, share my experiences as a designer. Thank you.
Well, that about wraps it up, you guys. That was an awesome interview. I could have kept going, you know. I felt so intrigued by all of her pieces of advice, especially those 5 points that were really putting it back on you to ask those questions. And I was serious when I said, I just want to take those 5 pieces of advice and just put it right up here. You can't see where here is, but right on my wall to remind myself of these things, because it's about asking yourself questions, continually asking yourself questions about who is this for? And that's for those of you that really are thinking that you want to start designing patterns. And maybe you just want to design patterns for yourself, but you know what? Ask the questions anyway. What do you want? Will this look good? Will I want to wear this? Because sometimes we can get caught up in the pattern stitch or whatever it might be, and then in the end it doesn't make sense for our own body type. So that's another piece of advice that she gives. It's like, go to the store, and she was talking about going to H&M, or, you know, go to a store and buy a little children's piece if you're making something for your son or your grandchild or a gift. Take, you know, the conventional piece, you know, the piece of clothing, and measure it and examine it, or even take it apart if you're not afraid to do that. And then you've got the pieces right in front of you and you can measure them. And then once you decide that this would make sense, because maybe if it's, let's say it's a garment for yourself and you put it on and you wore it and you like how it looks, well, you know, you could turn that into a stunning knit garment for yourself. So we talk more about that in our extended conversation. And I was really excited that she kind of gave almost like a little mini training about grading and how to start and how to, you know, where to go next. And so we share that in the extended version. So if you want to learn more about that, you can get that by going to patreon.com/powerpearlspodcast, and you can get the extended version if you're a patron at the $3 and up level. So with that, I'm going to say thank you again. I'm so happy to have you as a listener, and I will catch you next time. Have a good one.